Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Kroger. We're outside the front entrance. We've got our tent set up. We're asking you to stop in and drop off some non-perishable food items to help those in need with the devastation that took place in our city last week. So we would ask you to do that. We're at Kroger here in Franklin at 1203 Murfreesboro Road. We said we would head up to Boston and talk to Mike Reese, who is ESPN's Patriots reporter. He's been doing a lot of coverage on this offseason, and the NFL offseason really will get cranked up this weekend, and the legal tampering period will start on Monday. And who knows, Mike, by Wednesday, the cat may be out of the bag on all the stories, and it will be old news by the time it's all supposed to be official.
Well, Darren, Chase, always great to be with you guys. I just want to start by saying I hope everyone's doing well down there. And what I saw down there with the Titans and Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, and all the players, I just thought, to me, that is what I love about sports and what the teams mean, you know, to the community. So I just sort of wanted to start with that. I think those guys are great, and what the team did was great, and I just hope everyone's doing well. And as for Tom Brady, I will tell you, your guess is as good as mine. I think what he had said, last week to Charlie Weiss, his former offensive coordinator, when Charlie had shared a text message exchange, and he said to Charlie, "Nobody knows anything." And I thought that was sort of telling, because I sort of believe that. I think Tom is keeping his intentions pretty close to the vest, and here in New England, it's unclear how far the Patriots are willing to go financially, annually, emotionally, to want to keep them. So there's a lot of questions still to be answered.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for saying that at the beginning. We really appreciate it, and we always look forward to talking to you. When the reports came out that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had spoken and that it didn't particularly go well, you know that relationship, you know that dynamic, and you understand how those two operate. Does that surprise you, not surprise you, business as usual? What did you make of that report?
You know, I thought the first part was positive, that they actually talked, you know, because that needs to happen if Tom Brady's going to come back. Because so I thought, you know, to me, that part was like, okay, that's the next step in the process. And then however the conversation went, I will tell you, like, I was skeptical of anyone's characterization of the conversation unless it came from Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. And they're not the type of people that would sort of go talk to someone else about how it went. They're more the type to just sort of keep it to themselves. And so I sort of took it this way. They had a conversation. It didn't move them anywhere closer to a contract or a deal or an extension, but I had just assumed there's going to be more conversations to come, because after 20 years, it would be surprising to me if there weren't.
Mike, I think our paychecks just arrived here at Kroger. A Brinks truck has just pulled up in front of our tent. I was a little distracted. It just feels, you know, a lot of people, we've talked about this a ton on the show, as you can imagine. It's been discussed a ton nationally, a ton here locally. And their run is, you know, who knows if we'll ever see a run like that again. I said yesterday, just think about for all the Titans fans that are saying Tom Brady's old and he's washed up and he's never going to be the same. If we're talking about his prime, I was like, the man went to 9 Super Bowls. Yeah. 9. We could count up how many franchises in their history and put them all together and they've never made 9 Super Bowl appearances. But it also starting to feel like a relationship that just may be ready for change for both sides. Do you buy into any of that? What is your feeling as we sit here, like I said, on kind of the doorstep of chaos next week?
Okay, it wouldn't surprise me if that's the end result. I still sort of feel, I felt all along that Tom would be back, you know, and I want to preface, like, it's not based on any facts. It's just based on what I've seen over 20 years that, you know, the idea of going start to finish here would be something that if everything could work out would be, in my opinion, something that would be good for him, the best place for him to play, the best place to be, you know, close to all his family, that, you know, and all that stuff. That being said, like, there's a reason we're in this situation where he's almost a free agent. And so you can't just overlook that. And so if we catch up next week at this time, if there's some finality at that point and he's no longer with the Patriots, I wouldn't be able to say to you, I am just shocked that that happened, because I truly believe what he said, that nobody really knows anything. We don't really know how he feels about that. And if there's anything that might be leading him in that direction, if between now and then it could turn in the other direction, you know, with a simple conversation, or, you know what I mean? So would it shock me? No. But I don't know. I really don't know. And I know that it's tough to say that, because as a reporter, you want to feel like you're right on it and you know everything. There's a blind spot there.
Yeah. Mike Reese on the line with us, ESPN's Patriots reporter. And as I kidded about the Brinks truck pulling up, I wasn't kidding. It really did. And so with that being said, I'll use that to ask this question. Tom Brady has always kind of taken the, however you want to air quotes, hometown discounts. He's never been paid the highest, you know, paid quarterback in the league. It's always about, you know, keep building a better team around him so they can keep winning at a high level. Does this change things? Does this change his mentality? Is he looking for the Brinks truck in this final payday, or is he going to kind of approach things like he has in the past?
I would be surprised if he had the idea of a Brinks truck in his mind. To me, he's always been about the winning, so I think, you know, the winning's going to be the main thing. I will say this, though, with the money comes a respect, right? And perhaps part of the reason the Patriots and Brady find themselves in the position they're in now, where he might leave the team, ties to the last couple years when his contract was under market. And, you know, the idea of wanting to be raised up in the contract to be more in line with not even the top quarterbacks, but just, you know, to just a more elevated level where you're not that low on the list, and that it was such a struggle for him to get that raised up. So I don't want to say the money isn't a factor, because I think it ties to respect, but I don't think it's the primary driver for him. He's always been about the winning and what gives him the best chance. And also, too, I will say this, which is a factor that is fun, maybe not fun, but interesting to consider, is his lifestyle. Like, can I go to a place that, you know, believes in what, you know, what I'm with my TB12 method, and maybe even it becomes part of what the team does. I think that could appeal to him as well.
Talking to Mike Reese, he is the ESPN Patriots NFL Nation reporter. So let's just play the what-if game and say that he's gone. He's leaving New England and comes to Tennessee. You've covered the Patriots for a long time. You know Tom. You've covered Mike Vrabel, who's the head coach of the Titans. It's well documented what their relationship is like. They have a very good relationship. They are friends. And then the relationship with Belichick has been coach and quarterback. I mean, that's also well documented. So if he were to come here and play for his friend, how do you think that changes things, or does it change things at all that he doesn't have more of a quarterback-coach relationship, that it's two friends?
Oh, it'll be certainly different than what he has up here. I think it's I think it could be fascinating, and I mean, I think it could be great. And what I would say that the team, any team that gets Tom, is getting a culture changer. Like, he's just going to come into the building, and everyone is just going to have it. Everyone's going to have to elevate themselves to a higher level. And I remember talking to someone with the Broncos, you know, someone who worked for them when Peyton Manning went from the Colts to Denver, and it was described to me like, it's unbelievable what one player can do to an entire culture to just lift it up. And so I don't know, you know, the whole dynamic between Vrabel and Tom, like, it is interesting. Like, some people say, you know, like, good friends, maybe there could be some tough times, you know, if Vrabel's got to, you know, get on Tom, like, how's that going to work? I think those guys would work that out just fine. I don't see that as a huge impediment.
But do you think, I mean, look, Tom Brady is going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. Love him or hate him, he just is. He has done a lot of phenomenal things. But he was a sixth-round pick. He was with a very, very good coach and a great organization with offensive coordinators that knew how to develop and work with quarterbacks. So you have that has helped him along the way. So is this Tom trying to prove that, okay, well, I don't need all that. I can go and show you that I can do it on my own? Or are we going to actually see that, hey, that all factored in as well?
Oh, I think I misunderstood. I don't think that's it at all for Tom. Like, he takes coaching, and I think he acknowledges the importance of coaching. So I don't see this from his standpoint as the idea of, like, I don't need – you know, this whole system up here, like, or any of that. And in fact, I think if I'm getting it right, I think that'll be part of what would be so appealing to having him in there, because you talk to any player that's been around the Patriots and Tom Brady, what they always say is, wow, that guy works harder and takes coaching more than anyone, so you can't help but follow along from him. He's not trying to be the guy that says, I got all the answers here. Like, he's a superstar who submerges his ego and takes the hard coaching like he was the 53rd player on the roster.
So, on the premise of he leaves, who's the quarterback for the New England Patriots?
Great question. And, again, sort of just an opinion. I would say they probably just stay with what they have, at least initially, with Jarrett Stidham, their fourth-round pick last year out of Auburn, and Cody Kessler, who was their number three last year. And the way I view it is that they got about $30 million worth of cap space, and the idea of going out and signing a veteran quarterback at whatever, you know, the number would be, $15 million a year, $20 million a year, if it's not Tom Brady, I don't know if that would be the direction they go. So I almost feel like it would be a reboot at the position and financially, almost giving them a chance to clean up the cap and not devote as much space to the quarterback position, and then maybe see what the market looks like a month or two down the road, and maybe a veteran quarterback falls into your lap at a much cheaper figure. I'd be surprised if Tom goes, if they made like a quick, decisive move for a veteran quarterback.
How much have you changed, you know, just as things, you hear things, you talk to people, Mike, you're connected. How much have you been surprised or not surprised, let's just say, over the last couple of months of how this would play out, ever since basically the Titans ended their season?
From this perspective, it's a roller coaster, really, because, you know, people come out and say things so strongly in both directions. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the one day you'll hear a report, you know, I'd be shocked if Tom comes back to the Patriots. And then, you know, the next day you hear a report, well, maybe the market isn't what Tom thought it was. And so you're hearing this stuff and you're saying, you know, as connected as you are, well, there are other people that are connected too, right? And so it almost leads you to question, you know, where this whole thing is going. And that's why I've really just tried to drill down and just stay focused on the facts. And to me, the facts are, I really think this thing is still wide open until we know the answer to two questions, in my opinion. And it's, the two questions are this: how far is Bill Belichick willing to go financially, annually, emotionally, because I think he might have to make a case to Tom to bring him back. And then the second question is, what does Tom really want? And until we know the answers to those questions, I think it's a lot of fun to talk about and speculate about, but what do we really know factually? I'm not sure we know much more now than we did when the season ended.
Yeah,
Mike, I'm tweeting him every day. He hasn't tweeted me back yet. I'm
it
hopeful.
Is true. Chase
I'm hopeful
tweets
that
him
he's going to answer me at some point.
Every day. Yeah, but Tom, no response to this point.
I love it.
So let's end with this, Mike. 50-50, over or under, would you say he's back in Foxborough next year? Would you put it over 50% or under 50% sitting here today?
So I went over, and it's because of the instinct or the thought that they're the Patriots. I think they do want him back. It's at what level? And the fact they want him back makes me think they'll take another run at him and give him their best offer and their best, you know, plea, if you will. And as long as Tom hasn't closed the door in his mind, which if he has, that's something I don't know. After 20 years, I just think that's going to be a hard pull for him to go away from. But if it happens, I wouldn't be shocked, but that's why I'm over 50% of him returning.
Hey, I enjoy your work. Keep up the good work, and we always appreciate when you come on the show. We'll talk to you probably soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Mike Reese covers the Patriots for ESPN. He is their Patriots reporter, and he's going to go over 50%. We had someone on from the Boston Herald on Friday's show. She said under 50%
yep.
returning to New England. Mike's going to go over 50%. And I think he hit on a lot of points, and we'll discuss it on the other side. Nobody really knows. I do believe what Charlie Weiss said, that Tom Brady is – it is true. Really, nobody knows but Tom Brady. And there are a couple – I mean – there has to be somebody else other than that. I mean, there are people that know, but it
is
interesting how many people have come out on, especially like ESPN platforms. I mean, they talk about it daily. We've talked about this on the show.
You think Vrabel and Robinson know who their quarterback's going to be?
I do.
That means they know something.
I do. Yeah. I do. But remember, if you know stuff, you can't talk about it.
Right.
So,
of course.
Yeah, I do. I think people know. They've got an idea of where this is going.
I think Tom knows.
I do too.
I do too. I think Tom's
decision. He's not going to wake up Monday and be like,
what am I doing?
Okay, today I've got to figure out. I've got to talk
honey,
to some
honey,
people.
Honey, where do we want to work next year?
Got to figure out what I'm going to be doing. We'll see. Who am I going to be playing for? You know, that's not how he operates. Those guys that are wired like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and those cats, they're not wired like that, man.
Yeah, they know.
Go watch a Kobe Bryant interview, a sit down with him, and listen. Those guys are wired. They're always way ahead of everything. They're not living in the moment. They're always thinking, forward thinkers. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
We're back. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game, live out here at Kroger, 1203 Murfreesboro Road. Today we're out here taking donations for Second Harvest Food Bank and Tornado Relief, so we're all set up right out front along with our sister station 102.9 The Buzz, so you can come out, say hello, see us, drop some stuff off as you do your grocery shopping. And also right now we're taking bids to help Tornado Relief and the Preds Foundation. So this is what you have to do. You can bid on a Smashville VIP package with proceeds, as I said, benefiting Tornado Relief and the Preds Foundation. That package includes two tickets to Preds and Threads on March 17th with parking in the 6th Avenue garage, two tickets to the VIP party afterwards, the team autographed jersey, two lower-level tickets to the Preds game on March 21st versus the Flyers, dinner for two with Pete Weber and Hal Gill. That will be entertaining. Pre-game on March 21st and two Nashville Strong T-shirts. Bidding opened at $700. All you have to do to bid is text PREDS to 615-737-1025. Bidding will close at 7:45 tonight. So that simple, Darren. Get a great package. And look, the dinner with Pete Weber and Hal Gill, that's That's worth it right there because you know the stories that those two are going to tell.
No doubt about it. So what did you make of getting back into the Mike Reese?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have Tim Hasselbeck at high noon because all this is it's going to be a wild ride come Monday. I mean, next week's shows should be a whole lot of fun.
Yep.
There's going to be a reaction to what the Predators did over the weekend. I mean, they've got two big, huge tilts to close out the road trip in Columbus and Minnesota. You've got Selection Sunday, so the field will be set for the NCAA tournament. And then, oh, by the way, you've got huge news on the NFL front. On basically, they are open for business. And I'll be curious to see the rest of the week how it plays out on what new things are going to happen. What new changes are there going to be in the sports world with
sure.
what we're dealing with right now in our country? And I suspect we have not seen the last. By the way, I just saw a little bit ago that Dayton has moved all their classes to online. So
yeah.
they have shut down. The reason we bring that up, Dayton, Ohio, of course, that's what starts the NCAA tournament. They'll play on, what, Monday and Wednesday? Is that right? Yeah, Monday,
yeah.
Wednesday in Dayton, Ohio. And they've shut down their classes on campus. They're now online, and I don't know what the NCAA is going to do. I suspect.
Well, CBS and Turner Sports have come out and said they don't believe that it'll affect ratings if the tournament games are played in front of no fans. Look, we talked about it yesterday.
There's probably a lot more people that feel the way you do than the way I probably presented it.
It's going to be different. You're going to watch it.
Elijah had a good point last night. We were talking off the air. We were talking off the air last night before Predators pregame, and you know, a lot of the underdog stories, right? When the underdog happens, when we were watching Middle, you know, upset Michigan State, or I mean, you know, I don't need to go down the list. We all know all the big, huge upsets. I mean, we saw number one go down a couple years ago in Virginia. The whole arena, not just the little pocket of fans that came from that school, you know, the 2,000 or 3,000 fans that are in the corner going absolutely bonkers, but everybody who's not a fan of the big boy, the high seed, they're all rooting for the underdog. And it becomes this atmosphere of everybody's rooting for the underdog who's not rooting, you know, not there with the big school. And that's, you can't, you know, that is a big part of it. It is.
Right.
Even though you're not there, you can feel that watching it on television. And I'll, you know, the more I thought about it, even though it is it's a product that's made for television, I don't think I factored in it enough when you brought up it'll change things. And then, like I said, we were talking yesterday, and I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
It'll change things.
Like that, when you see that little school that's up, you know, big school calls timeout, the 2 seed calls a timeout, they're down a bucket to the 15 seed with 37 seconds to go, and the place is going crazy. That adds a little juice when you're watching.
Well, and think about this, too. There's always, you know, because it's TV, so you got to tell a story. So there's always a player for one of those teams that they find more out about, and they have a story. And usually, who do they show? They always show mom, or they show dad. Like if dad played, you know.
Sister Jean.
Sister Act.
I just saw something with Sister Mary, so that's why I said that. Yeah, Sister
Mary Clarence from Sister.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
So there's always that story. So they're showing, you know, a family member. Well, you can't do that. So now that changes things. So that's what I meant. Look, it's going to change the experience. You'll still watch. I'll still watch the games. The games will be played, but it's going to be different if there are no fans. So I think it's. You know, I just think it's something to factor in. And the fact that you have CBS and Turner Sports now commenting on it of, hey, you know, it's not going to affect our product. If there are no fans, you know, we're going to still put on the same show. It's going to be different, though.
50-50 right now, over, under, no fans.
You know what? I'm going to say over.
Over 50% that there's no fans?
Yeah. I have, and we know what San Jose has said, that they're going to adhere to the policy. I think we're very close to a sporting event with no fans. And, what you know, monkey see, monkey do. If you have one team do it or you have one sport do it, I think the others may follow. So I think we're close. I hope not. I hope it doesn't go that far. I hope they figure this thing out and we have more of a resolution on some sort of vaccine or, you know more about it. That, you know, if somebody from the CDC comes out like, hey, it's, you know, we're close, it's similar to the flu or whatever, then that eases people's mind. But I think we're close to playing some games without fans. That's what I think.
Well, we're going to know something here soon. I mean, they can't. Yeah. Obviously, they're going to have to make a decision here in the next, 48 hours tops, wouldn't you think? I mean, you can't make the announcement on Selection Sunday show.
Right.
Oh, by the way, here's the field, and we're going to shut down these regions. Yeah, they're going to play in front of no one. I don't think that. I mean, we're going to have to know something in the next 48 hours, I would think, or even less.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're going to. They've got to figure this out this week, I believe. So,
speaking of that, the NCAA tournament will know the bracket on Sunday, or the brackets on Sunday. It's now time for you to sign up and play our official bracket challenge, brought to you by Central Barbecue and Hi-Fi Buys and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Go to thegamenashville.com. Or the Game Nashville mobile app. Sign up and play along with us. Brackets will open after the teams are selected on Sunday. And if you have a perfect bracket, you can win $1 million. Good for you. You deserve it. If you pick a perfect bracket, especially this year or any time, first place winner receive a Central Barbecue $200 gift card, a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan at Bridgestone Arena. That's on April 24th, a really good prize. So get in there. Go on and get registered and sign up to play. And then, of course, you can start making your picks on Sunday evening. We'll come back here. We're at Kroger in Franklin, 1203 Murfreesboro Road. We're asking you to stop by and drop off some non-perishable items. We would really appreciate that. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
One, two, three, four.
SEC Media Days this summer will be back in Atlanta, and a lot of that stuff is around the College Football Hall of Fame, and I have yet to go to there, and I've got to do it. I've got to go take the tour. I've been to other Hall of Fames. I've never been to the College Football Hall of Fame, and it's the closest one to us.
I recommend it.
Yeah, well, I need to do that. They have announced their 2020 College Football Hall of Fame class. I'll give you some notables on there. Keith Byers, great running back at Ohio State in the 80s, is on there. Eric Crouch from Nebraska, late 90s, early 2000, is in that class. Eric Dickerson, running back SMU, late 70s, early 80s. Glenn Dorsey, LSU. Jumbo Elliott, Michigan. Let's see, who else? Steve McNair, Alcorn State.
Very cool.
91-94. So congratulations. That is awesome that they are putting Steve
McNair. Put a lot of people in.
I know. Their class is unlike what does the NFL put in, six?
Yeah.
Usually every year? Yeah, it's a big class. Steve McNair, Cade McNown at UCLA. That did not work out at the next level, but he was great in college. David Pollack, congratulations to him.
Oh,
he
cool.
was fantastic at Georgia. And Michael Westbrook, we all remember the play, and the wide receiver from Colorado. So that's to name a few. But, yes, it is a big, big class.
Steve McNair, a Hall of Famer. That is very cool. I'm glad to hear those words. And well-deserved. I mean, you go. You can ask Floyd Reese, Jeff Fisher, anybody that we know. I mean, you go and look at his numbers and what he did at Alcorn State, and there's a reason that they took him as a first rounder, because one of those diamonds in the rough under the radar.
Not just a first rounder, but third pick overall. I mean, that's.
Is that right? Third pick?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, hope Floyd gets that news, because that'll put a smile on his face knowing that Steve McNair is going to go into the College Football Hall of Fame in the 2020 class. So let's talk a little bit about what we talked about with Mike Reese. who said he's going to go over 50% on returning to New England. And then we had the strong reports of a little bit shift finally for Ryan Tannehill. Diana Russini came out and had some pretty strong comments about the Titans. You know, maybe they have got high priority on Ryan Tannehill, and that they're trying to work out a deal. And let's see, who was it that Ian Rapoport, I think, was reporting some stuff last night or yesterday. And so now there's been a little bit of a shift toward the Titans maybe leaning toward Ryan Tannehill, and that's the deal they want to try to get done. I don't know. I'd love to know how much has shifted behind the scenes of how this is all going to play out, because this is kind of like a jigsaw puzzle for John Robinson. He's got to make all this work. I don't think anybody, even though Derrick Henry is such a big news story in this market, I don't really think it's that big of a news story, just because I just really see no scenario where Derrick Henry isn't back in the fold. Now, we may not know how that's going to happen, whether they're going to slap him with, you know, with a tag, or they're going to work out a long-term deal. But I don't get the vibe that anybody really truly feels that Derrick Henry is going to get away. I mean, I think everybody knows he's going to be back. He's just not going anywhere. So there's a little less intrigue just because everybody knows that he's coming back, but just don't know how and at what cost, but everybody feels like he's coming back.
Yeah,
At least I know I do. I see zero scenario that he leaves.
I am willing to say this is what I know. Derrick Henry will be the running back for the Tennessee Titans next season and beyond. So I'm pretty confident in that. Mike Reese is somebody that I really respect and I pay attention to, because he's covered the team, I believe, since 1997. So he has been there a long time. He's been there with Tom Brady. Every year that Brady has played, he knows Tom Brady, talks to him a lot. He knows that team, knows Belichick. So if he says he believes it's above 50% that Tom is going to go back to New England, I pay attention to that. Now, I still lean towards that he probably ends up leaving because of some of the things that we've talked about, of whether it's the money. And I don't really think the money is really all that important to him, but he wants to have a fair deal. And the fact that I do believe that Tom Brady wants to grow the TB12 brand, I do believe that he wants to see what it's like without the Patriots, without Belichick. I think that all factors in. But I do pay attention when Mike Reese, you know, gives an opinion on this. And with the reports of, you know, Tannehill, look, I know we're having fun and I'm tweeting Tom and that's a bit and everything, but I do stand behind the fact that if they end up going with Ryan Tannehill, that is not the worst thing. That's not a bad thing. That is the direction that I've said they should go all along. So if that turns out to be true, then okay, this has been a fun topic of conversation. How close they were, who knows? But if it's Ryan Tannehill, then I don't think anyone would really be that disappointed if that is the case. So this is what happens, though, this time of year, that we have a lot of things. And this has been the most active offseason, even before the offseason technically begins, or free agency for the Titans that I can remember in a while, that there's been so much discussion, and it's all been because of Tom Brady. So we're going to have a resolution in about a week or less, but I'm buying what Mike Reese says, because I feel like even though nobody knows anything, he's going to know more than some.
The Eagles and the Saints have temporarily pulled their coaching staffs off the road for pro days as a precautionary measure with the spread of coronavirus. And so you do wonder, you just heard it. Some teams are, hey, come on back. Don't need you out there for pro days.
Right.
Well, there's some pretty important meetings
going
to take place over this weekend. How is that going to be affected, if at all?
I know. We knew it was real, but now you have all this stuff changing, and I mean, pro days are kind of a big deal. they really are. That's a lot of people.
Well, the draft is next month.
Right, so, and a lot of people learn more from pro days than they do the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of GMs and scouts that they prefer going to pro days because it's more of an intimate setting. than the combine, or the underwear Olympics, as you like to call it. So I think that that is significant with the draft being a little over a month away. So, look, this is changing a lot of things, and it's going to change how people go about conducting their business, whether it's playing games or whether it's playing games or whether it's doing evaluation. So I think that that is something to pay attention to.
Once again, awesome to hear Steve McNair is going to be in the College Football
sure.
Hall of Fame in the 2020 class. So really, really cool news there. We will come back and close up shop in the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase live here at Kroger in Franklin, 1203 Murfreesboro Road. Stop in, say hello right here at exit 96, right very, very close by to 65. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So I went over, and it's because of the instinct or the thought that they're the Patriots, I think they do want him back. It's at what level, and the fact they want him back makes me think they'll take another run at him and give him their best offer and their best, you know, plea, if you will. And as long as Tom hasn't closed the door in his mind, which if he has, that's something I don't know. After 20 years, I just think that's going to be a hard pull for him to go away from. But if it happens, I wouldn't be shocked, but that's why I'm over 50% of him returning.
Mike Reese, who joined us to kick off the second hour. Tim Hasselbeck will join us at high noon as we sit outside at Kroger in Franklin. Don't forget, we would love for you to bid on the Smashville VIP package. Proceeds benefiting the Tornado Relief and Predators Foundation. Package includes two tickets to the Preds and Threads on March 17th with a parking pass in the 6th Avenue garage, two tickets to a VIP after party, two team autographed jersey, two lower level tickets to the game on Saturday night versus the Flyers, dinner for two with Pete and Hal for pregame on that game, and two Nashville Strong t-shirts. You can bid on the Smashville VIP package by texting PREDS to 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Bidding starts at $700. It will close at 7:45 p.m. tonight. So jump on that. 7:45 tonight. That's a lot. Preds and Threads, tickets to a VIP after party, a team autographed jersey, lower level tickets to Preds and Flyers, a dinner with Pete and Hal, or a pregame meal downstairs. Nashville Strong t-shirt, that is a big, big prize package. And, of course, going to Tornado Relief and the Predators Foundation. So for a very, very good cause. Speaking of the Predators, good win last night. Philip Forsberg with a couple of goals. Another power play goal for the Predators. Five power play goals in the last four games. It's looked good. Cali Yarncrook, Ryan Johansson, guys we've been talking about. Victor Arvidsson. Matt Duchene, I think, has even played well. I know he had a goal
yep.
in the Dallas, or one of the Dallas games, right?
Yeah.
And
with Forsberg.
They're trying to do something they haven't done since October, late October, when they actually strung together a four-game winning streak after they beat the Blackhawks. That was winners of four in a row, and they can do that with a win in Toronto tomorrow night against the Leafs.
Yeah, and I just think that you get a different vibe off this team. And I know there was they won three, they lost three. There were definitely, some games in there that you want to have back that they didn't play well, and they got called out for it by their head coach. But what I've seen over the past three games has also been different from, previous three-game win streaks. The power play's working. Special teams in general, that's working. And as you just mentioned, you have those four guys that we've talked about time and time again that they need to step up their game, that they are playing much better. Philip Forsberg, he's scoring goals. Matt Duchene, I think, has played better, to agree with you. And then Johansson and Arvidsson. Now, do I believe that those four still have another level? Yeah, I do. I definitely do. And I think they know that too, but you have to start somewhere. And now, you know, especially with Philip Forsberg, that I think was kind of in his head, and we talked to David Poyle about this yesterday, I think now he's got it, the confidence is starting to come back. Those pucks are starting to go in the net. He's starting to get those shots to fall. And if he gets on a tear, then that's going to mean a lot of good things for the Predators, because at that point they're making the playoffs. And I know it's crazy, you know, looking at this year as a whole, to think could they be in that third spot in the Central Division, but they're 4 points back, so they very well could be.
No doubt about it. Philip Forsberg, congratulations to him. 6 straight seasons of 20 or more goals. No player in Predators franchise history has ever done that, and he has. So basically, since he has become full-time, remember, they traded for him when he was 19 years of age. He is still, I mean, dare I say, not only is he in his prime, I'm not even sure if he's in the prime of his prime yet. Philip Forsberg's got a long ways to go, a lot of hockey left in Philip Forsberg, and who knows what the record books will look like when he's done. Speaking of record books, Roman Josi is having a career year in all categories. He's never had this many goals. He has 16 goals. He's got 49 assists on the season. That's a career high, and 65 points on the year. So those are all career highs for Roman Josi. He continues to dazzle, and you know, I just think that in the end, he needs to. He's going to be a Norris finalist, but he really needs to win it. But you know, it typically goes to a lot of the times to a team that has a better record. And
look, there's a
Washington. You know, is having a better season.
Yep.
And so, you know, and Carlson. Look, I'm not taking anything away from John Carlson. He's had an awesome year. But Roman Josi, just if you watch him. I mean, Hal Gill is a defenseman, and you should, you know, he talked with Ryan Ellis for the pregame interview, and, you know, Ryan Ellis, just some of the stuff that he said about just playing alongside Roman Josi night in and night out and what he can do. And Hal had does the same thing, just basically saying, I don't think you really appreciate, you know, what he brings to the table, what he can do end to end. I mean, what, you know, just his. It's more than just reading stats with Roman Josi. Just watch him.
You got to watch him, yeah.
You just have to watch him, and you just realize how special he is on the ice. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I sure hope that – I mean, he's going to be a finalist, but I'd love to see him win it. But he's having an unbelievable year. There's been times when, if it wasn't for him, you know, I don't know what we would have been talking about, because – I think there were times when he was trying to literally put this team on his back.
Yeah, and in some cases he was. I mean, he was being successful at it. But when you try to do too much, you can tell. And I think Roman has – now he's just playing his game. You see, you hear guys say that all the time, I just got to play my game. Well, that's what he's doing. And you're seeing the best defenseman in Nashville Predators history. No disrespect, Matt, to Shea Weber or Ryan Suter or Kimo Tiimonen and anyone else, but he is. He just – He simply is, and he is showing it. He's very much in his prime. I wish he would win the Norris, and who knows, he might. We should bring this up with Elliot tomorrow, because we had this conversation with him a few months ago, and you know, there is an Eastern Conference bias, because a lot of the big cities in the league are in the East, and you have that's where a lot of the writers are based. People like Elliot have tried to change that and make it a little more balanced, but you know, that's another thing to consider. And Washington having the year that they're having, and Carlson, you take nothing away from him, but I know we're all a little biased, but I think if you really look at it and look at the breakdown, that Josi should definitely be the front runner, in my opinion, with what he's done this year, and especially with the ups and downs that the team has had. I think something should be made for that too, that he's still having a monster year.
No doubt about it. Philip Forsberg ties Shea Weber for second all-time goal scorer in Predators franchise history. David Legwan holds the honor with 210. Do you know who is behind Forsberg and Weber? So both those guys have 166 goals with the Predators. You know who's behind them with 163?
Martin Erat.
Yep, that's who Forsberg just passed.
Yep.
Do you know who is one goal behind Martin Erat?
Oh.
With 162?
Is that Craig Smith?
Did you look at my sheet? You didn't look at my sheet.
I did not look at your sheet.
That's very good. I don't know how many people would have known that.
because I saw it on TV last night.
Okay.
But I did not look at your sheet.
But did you go, wow?
Yeah, I did. Actually.
I mean, I was
surprised.
Okay.
That.
I mean, we know we've talked about his consistency, but I don't think. I mean, just think about that. Craig Smith does. He's, you know, if he does what he's done basically every year, but the 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got 18 goals. He needs two more goals to get to 20. That's going to pass Erat. So he's going to be fourth all time.
Well,
Predator scoring list.
And think about this.
Then he'll only be two goals behind passing Shea Weber for third.
Yeah.
All
he's,
time.
He's going to do that.
I just don't know how many people know that.
But
that's why I brought it up.
I joked with him when he did Smashville Live a few weeks ago. I said, you've been here for what, 20 years? Something like that. And it's because he's been here close to, what is it, 10? Eight or nine, somewhere in there. I mean, he's been here a long time. And you kind of lose track of it, of just how long Craig Smith has been actually playing in the NHL and with the Preds. But Mr. Consistent, I mean, he has consistently had 20 goals or more, and that all adds up. So when I saw it, I was like, huh, didn't expect that. But then if you think about it, you're not that surprised.
Another domino has fallen in the college basketball world. I don't know how big of a deal this is. I know it's a big deal to the players and to the coaches. There's no doubt about that because they get to extend their seasons. Obviously, there's virtually zero talk on this show because I just don't think very many people care, and I don't. But I do understand the importance to the teams because it's an opportunity to keep playing. But they have canceled the CBI tournament.
Huh. Well.
That is basically the other one to the NIT.
Yeah.
And they haven't said anything on the NIT. I don't know, because it's at Madison Square Garden, because it's they show it on ESPN when they get to semi. I don't know. There's been nothing on that, but they have canceled the CBI.
I mean, I look, it's not that surprising for, you know, and no disrespect to any team that plays in that tournament, but when you're looking at priority lists and having to cancel things.
It's the third, and it's not even close. So we all know that. A little bit easier to shut down that tournament. But they have. So they have officially said they are not going to play the CBI tournament this year, but they said they look forward to bringing it back next year. We will come back and bring back Tim Hasselbeck to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.